One of the inspiring realities of the ministry of Jesus that comes down to our own day was his great ability to touch people's lives and change them. In some instances, we call it miracle. In other instances, we can say it's a healing. But overall, we understand that God's being a part of our lives offers us options that otherwise we would not have. Whether it's from the depths of the human soul that invites us to be caring about each other, or it is the inspiration of some one person who models it for us, or a person like Jesus, or indeed a God who is operating in our lives without our even being aware. The possibility of growth, the possibility of living life more fully, the possibilities that rest for all of us as hope for a future. All these things come down to a small moment in the gospel where Jesus offers someone hope, a story we've heard many times, but one perhaps that I think gives a groundwork for our real chosen text for today. In the Gospel of Mark, there is a particular story about a blind man who comes to Jesus asking for vision. And unlike the other stories about Jesus curing blind people, or the lame, or the brokenhearted, or whatever, in this instance, Jesus does something very human. He says, "I will heal you," and he touches his eyes with his hands. And he says, "Can you see anything?" And the man says, "I can see people, but they look like trees, and they're moving about." So Jesus lays his hands on him again, and he says, "And now can you see?" And he says, "I see perfectly." And Jesus says, very simply in his own way, "Then go by a different way to live your life." And to me, this is a perfect model of what we are talking about today. Our reading this morning, the text that has been printed before, and so you've had some time to think about it, is one that goes right to the heart of who we are as individuals in that quest to become the people God created us to be. And so we look at the text and we'll see what we have to share this morning. And this is the text. "We are all the walking wounded, but some of us are better at hiding our deep wounds than others. Our first and most spontaneous response to undesirable memories is to forget them. We want to forget the pains of the past. But by not remembering them, we allow the forgotten memories to become independent forces that can exert a crippling effect on us. When we do this, we become strangers to ourselves because we cut down our own history to a pleasant, comfortable size and try to make it conform to our own daydreams. Forgetting the past is like turning our most intimate teacher against us. By refusing to face our painful memories, we miss the opportunity to change our hearts and grow mature in repentance. When Jesus says it is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick, he affirms that only those who face their wounded condition can be available for healing and so enter into a new way of living. Our text for today. And so would anyone like to share some thought, something about life, etc.? Tony?
I was going through a dark period, and someone said, suggested this to me. It's very simple. He said, "It's okay to look back, just don't stare."
Very good. Don't get stuck there. That's very, very good. Yes.
When I read this, I've done a lot of reading in the past, a lot of it Eastern philosophy. And it's the exact same concept, except they likened it to confront your poison. And by confronting it and going through it, if you don't do it, it holds power over you forever. So if you confront the poison, work through it, recognize it, even be thankful for it, because there is nothing actually that is truly negative in this world. It's all how we interpret it. And suffering is what burns out the stuff so we can become golden. And by confronting your negative or so-called negative stuff and being thankful for learning from it, move on to the positive and to the beauty.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Thank you. And if we could do that, wouldn't that be wonderful? That's not an easy road, but it's true. Anyone else? Yes, Catherine.
I read something that said, and the time will come when the pain of staying the same outweighs your fear of changing. And in order to make that change, sometimes you just can't do it alone. And the people around you might try, but to remember that you don't have to do it alone, because if you ask God to stay with you and help you make the change, He will. It may not be in your time. That's the frustrating part, that you might want the change when you want it, but the change will come, but it will come in God's time, not your own.
Okay. Really good dimension. Richard. Yeah, Richard.
I think the first thought that came to mind with me was the subject and the concept of forgiveness. And when I read this, I was thinking about people that had been harmed emotionally or physically in their lives, people suffering from an unjust childhood, people perceiving either real or imagined hurts from others. And so I think about the concept of forgiveness and the importance of forgiving others and how important it is for us, for our own health and well-being, to forgive others.
Very good. Oops, one more. I'll be right over, dear.
I don't know. Personally, certain situations, I think it's hard to forgive. I think it's something that, you know, for me, I have to work on all the time. You know, because you wax and wane about, yes, I do, and then something happens, and it brings, like, man, I guess I really didn't, you know? So it's like a, it's, it doesn't, like, you don't forgive it and then it's gone and it's, you know, it's no. It always kind of comes back and revisits you, and, you know, that's why I find coming to church once a week is helpful for me in that way. Kind of reminds me weekly that, you know, these are things that have to be worked on for me.
That's why I've been in church business my whole life. I need constant reminders. That's absolutely true. We don't forget. We can forgive, but we never forget.
In my field, when I was working psychology, we had a little adage: you can't heal what you won't feel. So if you submerge something so far down, you're never going to feel it, so it's never going to be healed. What I also know is that some people won't forgive because the person that hurt them was very bad, and they couldn't see what they would want to forgive them for, and it would only, you know, make them feel that they didn't do anything wrong. The point is, you don't forgive the person so they get better. You forgive the person because you will get better as you get rid of all that garbage, or what we used to call the bag. You know, the world becomes a little different, life becomes a little better. And so forgiveness, somebody said, talked about forgiveness. You can't heal it. First of all, you got to feel it. Then you got to go through a process, and then you'll heal it. And the person that hurt you, you don't ever have to approach. You're doing this for yourself. Try to remember that if you could.
Mm-hmm. Very good, dear. Thank you. Yes.
I always tell my children that God will challenge us and that it may not always be comfortable, but to look at the positive of it and say that God challenged me to show me that I'm strong. And it always seems to, you know, work out for my kids to forgive, you know, that they were challenged. It may not be a comfortable situation, but let's look at the positive that came out of this, that maybe I became stronger from it.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Yes.
I know a lot of, like, the girls I'm with right now, like, we're going through a really hard time, so I really do like this reading. Like they said, like, it what isn't going to kill you makes you stronger. And I know that, like, avoiding the situations, like, I avoid a lot of situations, but, like, right now in the place that I'm at, do I need to, like, face the problems because they don't just, like, go away? You need to realize that you got to be in the place you're in to get to a better way of life.
Oh. That's right. Very good. And understanding where we are is extremely important, isn't it? To know where we're going to be going. Very good. Thank you. Yes, Jim.
I think one of the, there's a lot of key statements in this, but the first one, we are all the walking wounded. And I think individually recognizing the wound that we suffer, each of us differently perhaps, but recognizing that we are wounded is that first step.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Jane. These are all very good. Very good.
The first thing I thought of when I read this is that there's a gray line between dealing with your past and the problems and whatever it was and wallowing in them. And I've seen people, and I have myself, spent some time wallowing, which I think is as unhealthy as ignoring it. Do you really need to be able to move forward from it? And the other thing, this is just like my little secret, which I'll tell everybody. Sometimes I feel like I do have a really hard time forgiving people, and in my mind I'm thinking, well, God will forgive you, so I don't really have to, because because it'll happen eventually, and maybe not going to come from me. And I, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing, that's a bad thing, but it's just something I do.
Whatever works. Good, yes, Dad.
I'm just going to stand up so I can see people. You know, this is a really rich passage, and it just holds so much of life in one small place. There's such a price to pay when love is withheld and when fear dominates. And people who cause pain are themselves living in fear and withholding love. You know, it's always the same consequence. You can't harm another unless you're closed in your heart. You know, if you have no sense of who you really are, your higher nature, you know, the ability to be whole, the ability to know love. And there's such a, you know, when I began this process, and I did it for a lot of years, you know, I was so much into that identity of being a victim of something. You know, that was kind of where I lived, and I was trying to make sense of it. I was trying to understand it. I was trying to logic my way out of it. But later on, you know, as I began to get more space, I began to realize that, you know, these acts come from deep suffering in people. I thought I was the one that was suffering, but I later realized that in those who I felt betrayed and hurt by, there was even greater pain. There was even greater suffering, and it was unresolved. You know, people don't always reflect on their harms. We all harm each other when we hold back on love. We all harm each other when we get angry unexpectedly. You know, when we don't drop into our center, when we don't remember who we are, no matter how good a person I am, I can do a lot of harm very fast with my words and with my ignorance. And so I think, you know, when it starts out, we're wounded. Not only are we wounded, but we're perpetrators. And if we can't see that we ourselves, in withholding love from those around us, are perpetrating harm as well, if we don't understand that we are as capable as they in separating ourselves from the goodness that's possible, from the invitation to wholeness. And so, you know, we sit in such a... I sat for years in identifying myself with the things that were harmful in my early life. And it was so complex and so difficult to tease out. And in the end, I never did make sense of all the factors that caused the situations. But I did make sense of who I was and that I wasn't those experiences. You know, when you mention the strength that comes, you realize, you know, I'm not that. I saw it. I went through it. I experienced it. And yet it's not who I am. You know, and I think what I love about faith is this possibility of remembering it's not who I am. You know, there is a soul nature. There is a higher nature. And as that comes present to me, I have options, so many options. And forgiveness is never about liking the person. It's not coming to like and love the person. It's coming to see that in their emptiness, in their separation from their own love and their own possibilities, they acted badly. That's how empty they were. You know, who would harm a child except someone who had the child inside them was so empty they couldn't find a place, right? This is so rich. This is a forever discussion.
That's for sure. Thank you. Thank you.
John,
yes.
I just have one more thing. I'm looking down at this bulletin, and there's the dove being released. So I think an important thing is to go through whatever you have to and then release it. Because unless you release it, you're blotting out anything good and positive that can be staring you right in the face if you stay within that negative realm.
Those are all good insights. We should publish. yeah, right. Just a thought. In all the years that I've been a minister, a priest minister, that's 48 years this year, I've been privileged to be a part of people's lives, some of their privacy and some of the struggles that they've had, whether it's in the confessional or it's sitting in an office or visiting someone in the hospital or being at a graveside or dealing with youth in their own struggles with their peers and growing up to be the people they want to be. There's a common thread that runs through all of the suffering that I have seen, my own personal and the people whose lives I've shared. And the thread is, whenever we find ourselves in a place of pain or suffering, it usually has a lot to do with our being out of control of ourselves. The scary part about living, and this doesn't sound at all like anything religious, but I think it's psychologically it's very true. The scary part about living is we are confronted again and again and again with situations or circumstances where we find ourselves unable to rise above it or to somehow manage it or control it or give it a direction. We somehow find ourselves powerless. And the interesting thing about, I think, what church offers is not an answer. It is not a cure. It is not a release. It is not an excuse. It is nothing more than what one of my great mentors once said when he was asked, well, don't you think that church is just a big crutch? And he said, of course the church is a crutch. What makes you think you're not limping? Because the reality is we are all limping. And every one of us, wherever we happen to be, whatever our struggle, however deep, however simple, however passing, however long lived, we find ourselves in a place where we need support. Some people find it in therapy. Some people find it in the confessional. Some people find it with a pastoral relator. Some people find it by meditating. Some people find it by basking in the sun, walking in the woods. Everybody has his or her own place, but no one can go it alone. Because alone, all we can do is recreate what we already know. If all I'm working with is what I have in my head, and there's nothing else outside of it, whatever's in my head created the problem in the first place, why would I think I'd come up with a solution? See? We need support, and that doesn't mean anything more than being together with another individual or a group of people who look at us and say, we're okay. That we're all the same. That we are people like everyone else who get up every day, try to be the best person we can, find the struggles of the day. Sometimes they overwhelm us, sometimes we can manage it, but we're all doing the very same thing. The sad thing is we've become a culture of individualists who think I'm the only one. And of course, if they ever knew that I'm the only one, oh my God, what would they think? And the truth is, from one person having ministered to probably hundreds of thousands of people, we're all the same. What we've got to get over is that it is not a sign of weakness to lean on somebody when we're weak, to turn to somebody when we're alone, to let somebody in just a little bit to assure me that I'm really okay. I think, in short, that's all Jesus ever did. I think, in short, that's all God revealed through Jesus of how God operates. There to lean on, not to fix, not to take away, not to erase, but to lean on. And forgiveness is always, always, always going to be a challenge because unless we have lobotomies, we have memories, and we will always, always remember. But very gradually, but very certainly, the pain lessens, the anger dissipates, and the memory stops controlling the way I think or feel about an individual and about myself. Because remember always, when we point the finger at somebody else, we have three fingers pointing back at ourselves. That says it has more to do with me than it does with him or her. Let us be hopeful, wherever we are today, that somehow because we have been here, maybe someone else's life has been opened up to a new possibility. And indeed, we are living church. We are, after all, the living body of the presence of God. So may it be so today and always. In God's name, amen.